This is Steve Gallington of the People's News, which can be heard on Sundays at noon, Mondays at 9 a.m., and Thursdays at 9 a.m. on 90.1 KPFT HD2, Houston's community radio.
This is KPFT Houston.
La do na na realit sor yeshenu. Nekad ma fanav beto da bizmiro na realo. Sing, sing a song to the one that has loved you for so long. Sing, oh now sing a song to the one that has loved you for so long. And if you ask me, do I believe in miracles? I'd say, yes I do, yes I do. How can I believe in what I cannot see? Well, my friends, I can see you.
Wow, that is some beautiful stuff. And this is Hank Rubicek, producer of award-winning Soap, What's Your Story? The only show in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, where we place a spotlight on ordinary people with extraordinary stories to tell. And you're going to find it only here on 90.1 FM, Houston's community station, or right on live at www.kpft.org. If you've tuned into our show, you know that that opening beautiful tune you just heard is a detour from our usual Clouds Below Our Knees by Ray Lynch, because I wanted you to hear the unique music created by my guest storyteller, Texas-born and Southern-raised Joe Buchanan. And using the word unique to describe Joe is no hyperbole. And here's why. You know, most country western fans know that it isn't unusual to find country music and Christianity tie together. But what about tie to the Torah? The law of God is revealed to Moses in the recorded five books in Hebrew scriptures. In short, the holiest book in Judaism. Well, Joe Buchanan makes country music steeped in Torah and hardships, which often dot the landscape of the human spirit. I saw Joe at an event at the Holocaust Museum in Houston and knew that I had to have him on this show. He grew up struggling with religion and his place in the world until one day, standing outside of the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and 13 years into his marriage, his wife revealed that she was Jewish. An exploration of faith led the way home for the whole family and ultimately led to Joe's debut album, Unbroken. He converted to Judaism, and since his conversion, he's toured the country giving concerts, conducting workshops, and leading prayer. His goal? To help find us the connection that we seek. I've got a lot more about Joe on our Facebook page, including his website. But right now I want you to hear his voice. Joe, welcome. I'm glad we finally do this, huh?
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely. I got to ask you, what happened at the National Museum that prompted your wife to reveal her religion?
You know, I always sound like a terrible husband when I tell that story about not knowing. But, you know, we had just gone through this entire museum and you come out of there and you're just kind of standing there shaking. You know, things don't make sense. How could this happen to a people? How could people, you know, be okay somehow with this? And it just defied all just reality. And I think she said it really plainly when she said, I want to get in touch with my people's faith. You know, it strengthened her, it emboldened her. I think she felt empowered by it and was like, I want to figure this out.
Right. Now, she kept it from you, obviously, but there was some reason why she felt compelled to tell you at that time. Had to be strong, very powerful. Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, your first song sounds like a great place to start. It's called Texas, and it's the story about never being to Israel, but finding God in Texas.
Right. You know, I get, it's funny. I was hired by the El Paso Jewish Federation to come out and do Israel Independence Day. And I told them, I said, well, I've never been to Israel. And they're like, it's fine. The rabbi loves your music. And I said, well, let me send it to you, because I wouldn't want to take a gig and misrepresent what they want, right? That's not okay. And I called them about a week before the gig, and I said, did you hear it? They go, is it Israeli folk music? I said, no, you didn't listen? They said, no, but the rabbi loves it. It's going to be fine. So I got out there, 500 Jews at the El Paso Federation, and I stood up there on that stage, and I said, you know, I've never been to Israel, and you could have heard a pin drop. And I said, but I have been to Texas. And somebody in the back goes, ow! Like that. And I was like, wow, y'all are clearly my people.
Well, it's just like Israel, right.
That's right.
Doesn't anybody know that?
That's exactly right. So this is definitely a song about knowing that wherever you are, that's holy ground. Cool. Well, I've never been to Israel, but I floated the Frio River. They don't make hummus at meals. They make a mean chicken dinner. The mesquite trees and them singing leaves, well, they always remind me of God. Floating back in tubes, well, it feels so darn good that it might get out along. Yeah, now Texas, Texas is like a holy land to me. Oh, yeah. It's a place where the heavens feel close. Yeah, where God taught me to see. And if I don't make my way, don't make my way across that sea someday, I'll be glad I lived in Texas, where I first found the reason to pray. Oh, pick it up. When I was a kid, I was trouble born, and trouble did. No one thought I'd make it to 15. I was such a mess. Well, I struggled and well, I did my best, and the getting good was getting pretty lean. I believe God's where you are. We met under that lone star between you and God. Yeah, there ain't no one between. If you're feeling down, well, my friend, just come on down to the state where the name means anything but me. Hey, now Texas is like a holy land to me. Oh, yeah. It's a place where the heavens feel close. Here, what God taught me to see. And if I don't make my way, don't make my way across that sea someday, I'll be glad I lived in Texas, where I first found the reason to pray. I'll be glad I lived in Texas, where I first found the reason. Yeah, na 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 to pray.
All right. Yeah. I love it. You know, you got to get a lot of remarks from people who have no idea who you are. You're doing a gig and you're listening to this. What kind of responses do you get?
I think it surprises people, you know, especially when I'm in Jewish communities. I don't think this is something that people hear a lot. I mean, we have a lot of Jewish country singers, but not a lot of country singers that are Jewish that sing about Jewish experiences and things like that. And especially just doing this kind of music in communities, it tends to be very different, you know, from what folks expect.
You know, if you were asked, this is a tough question, but if you were asked to describe sort of the spiritual stimuli that you get from being Jewish, what would you say? Like, what kind of stuff do you feel every day that really allows you to wake up and say, I'm glad I'm Jewish, I'm glad I'm alive, you know, all that stuff? What kind of stuff goes through your mind?
Yeah, what a great question. Judaism helped me get back into my own life. I feel a unique responsibility over my life. I don't worry about my connection with God or anything like that. I just feel like I'm fully empowered to embrace my life as it is. I'm good enough as I am, wherever I am. And my goal is to put more good in the world. It's like a simple mission that just is an everyday driver.
Right.
And that everybody's okay wherever they are. You know, you can do good work together and there's no pressure.
And that envelops the whole notion of tzedakah, doing good deeds, you know, in so many ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is so great. Your next song, called Return, is about the journey home to Judaism. You even claim it's an anthem about getting your life together. So it's a good segue from what you were just sharing with us. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Looking forward to playing it. You know, I'll tell you a little bit about how the song came to be. When my wife told me that she was Jewish, it changed everything for our family and all that. But I grew up believing in a God, but not having great information about who, you know, what God thinks of me. And at some point you either go, well, I agree with what everybody says, or you completely disagree with it and do your own thing. And I was rebellious from a young age. Right. So,
well, you had to change your calendar going from Christmas to Hanukkah. That had to be a little challenging, right?
That's right. Well, right. When April told me, I said, look, I don't know how you got Jewish. And she's like, I was born Jewish. And I was like, that's a thing. And she's like, Joe, I didn't know. And I said, look, let's find a rabbi. So we did. We found this rabbi in Houston, Rabbi Stuart Federer, who's just one of the most delightful people in the world.
I know. Yep.
We walked in the door. April, myself, our son, who found out recently that he was Jewish at the same time I found out April was. And he looked at me and I said, look, they're Jewish. I'm not. And we don't know what that means. And this is what he told me. It really inspired all of this music and the goal and the mission and everything. He looked at me and he said, there's one God and there's nothing wrong with you. He said, you're great. You're loved exactly as you are. And you don't have to be Jewish or anything else to be loved by God. It was done when you came into the world. You're part of creation, loved by your creator. He said, you do good because it puts more good in the world, not for a reward or fear of punishment. The good you see in the world is the reward for doing good. And he said, we don't know what happens next. We know what happens now. And it's a gift. And you got to take care of it. And it was like 30 years of therapy all at the same time. And I told him, I said, I want to do this. And he's like, what? I said, I want to be Jewish. And he's like, well, you don't have to. I said, no, this is what I've been looking for. So I jumped in. I started writing all this music to kind of help share some of the healing that I found in Judaism with people, and also to clear up misconceptions and create more understanding. You know, the more we know our neighbors, the more we know how to be good neighbors, right? So, so this song is called Return. It's about the high holy days and the strength we find in getting in our lives.
Well, I will take a long look at me and think about what it is that I see. Have I been good? Woe to you. Did I do all that I said I'd do? Remembering the words that I've used, thinking about the times that I was rude. Well, if I am thankful for this gift, let me say it with deeds and not just lips. It's gonna be a brave new year. We're starting right now, right here. Well, I will be strong and stand up tall and reach out for others, oh, when they fall. And I will rejoice in my faith. Remember that love is why we're made, and be the very best that I can be for the world and for me. 'Cause every day we live our lives, but some days we let ourselves slide and we forget our way. But thankfully it's not too late. Avinu Malkenu, Chonenu Va'anenu. I may have done wrong at times, I know, but through my actions I will show. It's gonna be a brave new year. It's starting right now, right here. Well, I will be strong and stand up tall, reach out for others, oh, when they fall. Well, I will rejoice in my faith. Remember that love is why we're made. Be the very best that I can be for the world and for me. Yeah, Teshuvah. Teshuvah. Return, return. return.
Man, what a beautiful, beautiful, moving piece. I was visiting my son and my grandson this weekend in Charlotte, and you know, my mother, my grandparents are survivors. I oftentimes tell that story on this show, and I reminded my son. I said, you know, you got to get to know something about your ancestry.
Right.
He said, I learned my ancestry. I'm 100% Eastern European Jewish. I said, that's good, but it's not quite enough. Yet you have to know a little bit more. And I say that because he knows he's Jewish, but he's really not. I remember Rabbi Lyon, David Lyon from Beth Israel, where I'm a member, said something in a sermon over the High Holy Days that really made an impression on me. He says, most of us know who we are, but it's what we are that kind of matters, right? You know what I'm saying? It's what we are, and we are Jewish, and we've got to know that. You got to do some reading. You got to ask some questions, man. You got to know some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is such a moving piece. What, I'm just laughing because a rabbi friend of mine, I asked him recently, what happens when we die? And he says, who knows? Did you ever ask anybody? I said, no, not really. He says, just matter. Just worry about right now. And that was his answer. We understand how you became interested in Judaism, but how did you become interested in music?
Yeah, so I was always writing for myself. You know, it was never anything I planned on doing professionally. You know, I was working in human resources for a long time, was pretty happy doing that work. And I was always writing songs for me, but I never had the confidence to do anything more. I actually made a couple of CDs, like for my wife. We met. I played her a song when I was working at a store the day we met, and we got married shortly after. So music's always been a big part of our lives, but never anything I was putting out. Well, when Judaism happened, I was like, I need to learn more about what I'm learning. And I do that through songwriting, whether that's a prayer, whether that's a story that you find in the Torah. And I thought, man, there's so much good stuff here, and the world doesn't know it. And I want to do that. So that's kind of what drove all this.
Right. Beautiful. Yeah, I can imagine you saying to your wife to be, listen, you could buy all my CDs or marry me. Those are the options. Well, I don't have any money. Well, there you go. You have no other choice. That's beautiful. Man, I love it. You know, one of those constant declarations, Joe, that I always make on this show is that we are all natural storytellers. We really are. Yeah. And becoming a member, I'm going to do a little advertising here, becoming a member or just visiting, the Houston Storytellers Guild can prove it to you. We meet virtually the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Our next story swap is going to be December 20th. We'll be telling a bunch of holiday stories, but doesn't mean we're only going to listen to those. Whatever you got, we will hear. It's a great supportive group. So go to www.houstonstorytellers.org, and the Zoom link will be under events. You can also take your skills to the next level by joining the Tejas Storytelling Association and the National Storytelling Network. Both are terrific groups. Our Friends of the Moth, by the way, meet up at Warehouse Live the second Tuesday of the month. So you want to get your tickets online because they're always sold out. You're going to have the time of your life. Great date night, by the way. If you have any ideas or guests that you recommend for our show, I want you to drop me a line on our Facebook page or send me an email to SWYS, that's an acronym for So What's Your Story, @kpft.org, or text me at 832-277-1581. That's 832-277-1581 to Hank, and label it show idea or SWYS. I'm one of the few people that actually get back to you, so don't worry about that. This is Hank Rubicek, and you are listening to my guest storyteller, country singer Joe Buchanan, on So What's Your Story on Houston's community station, KPFT 90.1, 89.5 with our friends in the Galveston area, and 91.9 in Huntsville. You know, Joe, for some people, it's obvious to those of us who love music and religion, and we know, but for a lot of people, the idea of a country singer and a storyteller, even though in my judgment they're really one of the same, seem kind of a strange connection. So, but music and story have always been inextricably connected. How does music best say what you want it to convey.
Well, we have this beautiful word, kavanah, right? Kind of the direction of the heart. And there's a lot of times I know that, you know, when I put on music, it's because I want to approach a certain feeling. Maybe I've had a hard day and I need to get motivated. I'll put on songs that make me feel that way. What's the kavanah, right? And country music, uniquely, is such a beautiful storytelling tradition. And there's so many good stories to tell in the Torah. And I honestly didn't think about that when I first started doing it. This is just the music I grew up with that made me feel good, that taught me things, that helped me express myself. And it's naturally where I went. And it turns out to be a perfect fit. I think the kavanah in country music is a beautiful pairing with Judaism.
Beautiful. Yeah. Wow. Say what you will as a tune for all the haters out there who think they know how you ought to live your life and, you know, whatever. Who knows what they think? I'm not even sure we should care. But in any event, this is a song that I'm looking forward to just because of its connection to things that really bother me in the world, I think. Share it with us.
Thanks a bunch. Yeah, this is definitely a song for the haters. You know, I found when I first joined the tribe, there were, 100, still to this day, right? Tons and tons of people that feel like they know how I'm supposed to do what I do better than I do, or how I'm supposed to live my life, or what I'm supposed to believe, or what's right or what's wrong. And I quickly found out that the majority of people's issues have more to do with them than they ever did with me. And I'm great at ignoring advice, both good and bad, to my detriment and to my benefit. So this is a song, it's a little bit about that.
Say what you will, well, say what you will about me. At least I'm trying to be free, I'm trying to do all that God asked of me. Yeah, say what you will, well, say what you will about me. At least I'm trying to be free, just trying to do all that God asked of me. We can be jaded at times, feel faded at times, and be tucked away, but too far to see. Surrender to our inner lies and not feel the truth of who we're meant to be. Cause we're all a beacon of light to the seekers inside that wanna be free. Well, say what you will, yeah, now say what you will about me. Well, at least I'm trying to be free, just trying to do all that God asked of me. Say what you will, and I say what you will about me. Won't at least I'm trying to be free, just trying to do all that God asked of me. So hold on to the tree, yeah, and all that you do, and be proud of yourself. Always be you, cause there's strength in our story, there's strength in our song. We'll be alright, each other's arms. So build your fence, but don't build it so high that you can't see outside. Every soul is a beacon, each spirit a breath, and we give to each other, but we forget what we left. So pray like a child and be the gift that you are, not each other's judge, but each other's heart. Hey. Say what you will, and I say what you will about me. And at least I'm trying to be free, just trying to do all that God asked of me. Yeah. Well, say what you will, and I say what you will about me. At least I'm trying to be free, just trying to do all that God asked of me. Yeah.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. You know, every song, every story has got a parable, some kind of lesson. And I know there are a bunch of lessons in there, but what's the single most important takeaway from this song, Joe?
Absolutely. I think it's a theme that runs through a lot of the stuff I find myself writing, that we are all living in this big neighborhood, and the best thing we can do is take care of it and take care of each other. And it's not about what somebody else has that you don't have, or what somebody believes that you don't believe, or what you believe and somebody else doesn't believe. Mm-hmm. It's about, are we being kind to each other? Are we helping each other? Are we supporting each other? Are we there for each other, including ourselves? And our job is to build a bigger neighborhood, and honestly, a bigger table. This is a massive table, and the more chairs we can add to it, and the more good we can do together, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether or not we're the same. It matters that we learn to work together and respect each other.
Is that what you talk about when you talk about room for one more?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, get them. Okay. What do you what do you mean by haters? We heard the song, man, great. But what do you mean by haters? How do you sort of conceptualize that?
You know, I always think of folks are usually hurting from something in their lives, you know, and then they spend a lot of time, and we all do this in different ways, right? We can find ways to take whatever internally we're struggling with and find things to point at, to, because we want to put it on that and say, well, that's the issue. Well, that's the problem. Well, that's the thing. When truly it's something within us that needs some healing. And it's just a way of telling those folks, you know, I'm not fazed by whatever it is you're going through. Right. But I'm here and I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah. That is a brilliant way of talking about hate. You know, when hate hasn't gone away. When I do tours with kids at the museum, for example, you know, they all have their little name tags on, right? A lot of middle schoolers. And I tell them, you know, hate hasn't gone away, right? And they all say, yeah, hate hasn't gone away. I said, you know, Johnny, if I'm your boss and I say to you, Johnny, the only way to get Tim's job is to throw him down the stairs and break his legs. And I'm your boss. So I'm going to tell you to do that. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? But you really want his job. And you're ridiculous enough to listen to me. So you do it. And I'm a man of my word. I give you his job. But now you're under arrest because that's an aggravated assault, Johnny. Right? What are you going to tell the cop when the cop asks, why in the world would you do anything that stupid? What would you say? Well, fortunately, 9 out of 10 kids give you the right answer, which is, it's my fault. I don't know why. Because that is the answer. I tell them, look, I don't know if you've heard this through the grapevine, but every adult isn't smart. The idea of listening to every adult isn't a wise thing to do. You got to make your own decisions. You've got to make your own decisions. So if, you know, someone's dropping a tray in the cafeteria, you don't have to applaud with everyone else. You can get up and help that kid. If somebody's getting beaten up on the schoolyard, you can call 911. You don't have to allow that to happen. You want to be an upstander, not a bystander. That's what we talk about at the museum. Absolutely. And frankly, that's really an important theme of Judaism. It's a matter of not complying. It's a matter of not collaborating with those who lead us astray. It's about making your own decision. And you put it very well, though, a lot more simply, when you said, you know, we can't look for excuses. We can't blame people, because I tie that right into the Nuremberg trial. You know, when the Nazi war criminals were asked, why did you do that? Why did you kill 11 and a half million innocent people? It was war, you know, that's why, really. And, you know, the idea of blaming it on something so innocent as innocent people is just not the right thing to do. And that was our ability to understand what a war crime is. I didn't mean to deviate into that, but it's really a compliment to you, because that's what got me thinking about the whole idea of hate and how we conceptualize it. It hasn't gone away. And we've got to stop it. We've got to stop it. You know, there's a part of the museum with young diarists. And, you know, I explained to people that Anne Frank wasn't the only one who shared thoughts and ideas about what it was like to be in a camp. There are some kids who wrote diaries about times when they were in hiding. Some who actually wrote things moments before they perished. Others who wrote things when they were refugees. And, you know, sometimes I'm asked a question that I want to ask you. I want to get your take on this. Sometimes I'm asked a question by students like, you think God heard them through these diaries, you know, through these entries. You think God heard them? I say yes. I don't know why I say that, but I say yes. What do you think?
I would say yes as well. I mean, I very much, you know, I'm of the mind that God is very aware, but I'm also of the mind that we can't just expect that God's going to fix everything in the world. We're empowered as individuals and as part of creation to have a tremendous impact on the world. Our job is to be that impact. You know, we're B'Tselem Elohim, right? We're made in the image of God. So let's go do the work. Right. And not just wait for God to do stuff, you know. So I believe that God hears those things. Absolutely, 100%.
Right. Yeah, that's a question that always troubles me too. You know, all these bad things happen. I hear all of these stories growing up, and I'm a kid, and I don't really want to hear them, but I have to because I live there, and live with my grandparents and my parents, and they tell me these stories. And that's one of the first questions I ever asked myself, and that is, you know, when I was old enough to figure it out, does God hear these people? Yeah. But I appreciate that. Music has a lot to do with it. You know, the old notion is that many of the cantors were the first killed because they were believed to have a voice directly to God.
Wow.
I believe you do too.
Thank you. I believe you do.
As well. I think your music bypasses a whole lot of middlemen. I think it gets up there fast. Okay, now I asked you a little earlier about, you know, what happened in the Holocaust Museum in Washington that would compel your wife to tell you she's Jewish. What kind of an impact did it make on you? I know you were saying that how could all of this happen? You asked yourself that question, but, you know, that was your first time there. What kind of an impact did it make on you when you walked out of there? What are you thinking?
You know, I think one of the things that hit me so hard, I mean, aside from all the visual, everything that you see in there, is that this is a people that they stood up, they fought back, they're still here, they're still doing what they do in the face of all these things that are constant reminders everywhere, these wonderful museums that we have that are so important to that history, and that we still stand up, we still pray, we still say the Shema, we still very proudly wear our kippot and all these things. And it was really inspiring, you know. And when I found out kind of the core of what the belief is, I realized that that's what I've been looking for all my life. And then it just became something that, like, yeah, I want to be not just part of this, but I want to stand up for it. I want to speak up for it. I want to pray out loud. I want to support it. And I want to defend it when needed. You know, I'm here for it.
Beautiful. Okay. This is great news, I think, for both of us and anybody smart enough to tune into this fabulous show. Because as you well know, this is the best show on the air, right? I mean, we all know. So everybody's listening, if they're smart enough to do so. But you've got 5 minutes of free time right now. And I'm excited about this because I want you to do whatever you want at about 5 minutes to share some songs with us and a story or two that might go with it. But for the next 5 minutes, man, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm absolutely honored to be here, and I'm excited to play this tune for you. This is a new song, brand new. It's called Float, and it's inspired by Noah, who we read about recently. In the Torah, you know, we find out that Noah was told, hey, build this boat, and I'm going to do this terrible thing to the world. And instead of going out and knocking on his neighbor's doors and saying, hey, look, change your ways. Hey, hold up, God, don't do that. You know, kind of like how Abraham did, right? Well, not the God of justice, do right. Noah doesn't do any of that, just builds the boat. And so I keep thinking, maybe Noah should have been knocking on doors and saying, hold on, God, let me see what I can do. Let me see what I can do. Because later on, that's what we're supposed to do, right? But Noah doesn't do that. So this is a song from someone who didn't make it on the boat and is righteous in their own mind. But there's a difference between righteousness and self-righteousness. And this is from a self-righteous person. Thanks for the opportunity to play this.
Well, I'm a simple man just trying to do the best I can.
tell me the world is gonna end. Somewhere there's a righteous man who got saved by following his God's plan, and we're all gonna drown in our sin. Well, now the water comes steady. Yeah, the water comes steady. Whoa, the water comes steady. When the rain comes down, it feels so heavy. Well, now the water comes steady. Yeah, the water comes steady. Whoa, the water comes steady. When the rain comes down, it feels so heavy. Noah, go and build your boat. But don't you know the rest of us don't float? I know God gave it to you, but can you use a few more on your crew? And what did my children do to deserve this fate but not you? Can I get some saving too? Yeah, I'm out of die for all the killing and the stealing I've done. After all that I've been through, yeah. This is the world your God made. Tell me what did I expect I would do? Don't you look at me with those righteous eyes, cause you can't see I'm a righteous man too. Here, come and drop so hard. Give your family my regards, and I hope your guilt built a good ship too. Well, now the water comes steady. Yeah, the water comes steady. Whoa, the water comes steady. When the rain comes down, it feels so heavy. Well, now the water comes steady. Water comes steady. Yeah, the water comes steady. When the rain comes down, it feels so heavy.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. And the takeaway from that?
That often we get wrapped up in our own heads and what, you know, we talk about, like, driven by anger and hate and all these kind of things, that we're running rampant through the world. And this is someone who looked at something that was happening and just kind of pointed all the blame, all the anger and fear and everything that they have in their own lives, you know, and aimed it right at Noah. At the same time, all these figures in the Torah, there's things sometimes that they didn't do that was great. You know, we can take inspiration from, oh, Noah, you know, built the boat and did what God said. But what's another takeaway? Should have been saying, no, hold on, give me some time, you know?
Yeah. You know, we don't want to get political because it's not a political show and it's not really important, but we all know what's going on in the world right now with anti-Semitism and hatred of so many groups. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. And it's really hard to wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm not going to hate that.
Right.
How do you work through that?
All
how do you reconcile the fact that there's a lot of that going on and you've got to deal with it? You got to parlay through it.
I think that my job every day is to be the best, a better version of myself, for my family. And then when it comes to the world outside, to be a good representation of the things that you're looking for in the world, right? To not do what is hateful. Don't do what is hateful to others, what's hateful to you, you know, and express kindness and open the door and listen and just try to be as much of a good, you know, have a good impact as possible. You can't change what was, but you can have a tremendous impact on what can be. My job, I think, is to be a pebble in the pond sometimes and change the water a little bit.
So the kind of stuff that's going on right now, you know, sometimes I get the feeling we're just repeating ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to go there. So it's just a matter of keeping yourself from hating back, keeping yourself from going there, probably, yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody struggles with something, and all the people that we may disagree with politically for, or, you know, different groups or whatever, everybody struggles with something, and we're all people and we're all here trying to figure it out. And, it doesn't make somebody right, but it does make them uniquely human. And we can start from that. We're both here And where do we want to go from here? And if we can approach each other like people, we can figure a lot of things out.
Yeah, a number of years ago, I remember doing a tour. It was a group of 10th graders, and about midway through, this young man just blurts out, you know, my dad said none of this stuff happened. Woo, right? That's a tough one. Take a deep breath. I don't really know what to say, but I know I'm not going to say what I want to say.
Right.
Because I've got to somehow maintain dignity. I've got to understand the integrity that's going on at that moment. And I guess I did what you did. I mean, I hope I did. I looked at him and I just took a deep breath and I said, you know, why don't you and your dad come here and visit it on your own? Let's move on. Right?
Fantastic. What a great
And he looked at me and I think he expected something else. You know, right. I think that haters sometimes just expect us to hate back. They expect it. They want us to. That's what entertains them, right?
And I think it validates too. Right. For them, there's that validation. They get pushback and they're like, oh, see, I was right. They're saying this because they know it, you know, and then it becomes this, it feeds it.
Yeah. It's a tough one. Wow.
It's hard. Because sometimes you do have to push back really hard and you have to know when to say, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah. And that's about it. Joe, talk to us about, you know, your services. Tell us what you do. Talk to us about website information and tell us what we can expect if we want to book you.
Wow. Well, that's very
kind. Don't give us your prices. This is Pacifica Radio. You can't talk prices. So, you know, like, for example, when I do a fund drive, I say things like, I can't tell you how much to give us, but if you take a look at your sofa, you might have enough between the cushions, you know,
That's right. Well, I won't do that for sure. So my website is joebuchananmusic.com. I'm a Jewish country music singer. I spend the majority of my time traveling all over the country. I do an original country music infused Shabbat service, all original. It's just an absolute hoot with communities. I do a Saturday night concert and Havdalah service. I do workshops on my conversion and about how do we build a bigger table for all of us to be at. And then I also run a Facebook page that has become a big community at Joe Buchanan Music on Facebook. And we do a tableside Shabbat service most Friday nights. And it's live.
Beautiful. Yeah. You're invited to a lot of synagogues, I would imagine, to help lead services. Yeah.
Quite a few. Yeah. It's we're on the road about 2 weekends a month on average, all around the country.
Right. Fabulous. Wow. Small Town Tonight is your closing song about the type of communities that we build when people come together. Sort of a summary of tonight, I think, and an incredibly powerful message for the current world in which we live. And let's hear that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, because this is something I want us to cultivate a little bit. We got some time.
Right on. I'll play the tune first.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a big world. It's a big world, and it's a big world outside of this light. We're a small town, a small town, and we're a small town in here tonight. We've crossed the desert, we've been through the sea, we've drifted apart. We've been close as can be. We made new friends and new family. We're gathered tonight in peace. Yeah, and it's a big world. It's a big world, and it's a big world outside of this light. Whoa, and we're a small town, small town, and we're a small town in here tonight. If you're feeling alone, well, you're not on your own. We've all been there at times in our lives. So fill up your cup, yeah, come on, raise it up. We saved you a place at our side. Yeah, and it's a big world. It's a big world. big world outside of this light. Oh, and we're a small town, and we're a small town in here tonight. Well, many road maps exist, there's a lot of exits. It's okay to get lost on the way. I'm a traveler too, and I'm glad I met you, 'cause it looks like we're headed the same way. And it's a big world, it's a big world, and it's a big world outside of this light. Oh, and we're a small town, a small town, and we're a small town here tonight. Yeah, and we're a small town and here tonight. Oh, and we're a small town and here tonight.
Beautiful, man, beautiful. It, you know, I'm thinking of a little story, and hell, this is my show and it's a storytelling show, so I'm about to tell it. I'm about to tell it, everybody. Get ready, okay?
Right on.
Give me a break.
Right on.
But this is going to sound really unrelated, but a few years ago, I remember, you know, I'm in an emergency room in a hospital, and I'm looking around me, and you know, there are all kinds of people in there. I mean, you got old people, you got young people, you got people with a cane, people who can hardly walk, people who are riddled with arthritis, people who are really sick. And then you have family members there, worried about them, and sitting there in a big circle, kind of sorta. And I'm watching, and after a few minutes, I see this guy. Oh, maybe in his early 60s, turned to a young man in his 20s and says, "Your mom's in there. Do you think, is she okay?" A young man says, "Oh, thank you, sir. Yeah, I think she's okay. I just got news from the doctor. She's okay. And how's your wife, by the way?" "Oh, she's doing all right. Thanks. And then there's another person, an African-American middle-aged man across the way, who says, "Listen, anybody want some coffee? I'm going to go get some coffee. Anybody want some coffee?" And all of a sudden, Joe and everybody else out there, I see these people who absolutely had nothing in common other than the fact that they were sick, or they brought somebody else who was sick. And suddenly, after a little while, they're interacting with each other like they're best friends. It's a common denominator, you know, this illness, the sickness, you know what I'm saying? And I realize that, you know, your songs don't deal with that directly, but in my eyes, they do. It's the kind of stuff that reminds me of those observations that we make all the time. And I just wanted to thank you for that, because it's pretty meaningful stuff. That is very, very meaningful stuff. Yeah.
Wow. I appreciate that a lot.
No,
That's an incredible observation. It's amazing how close we all are. We're really close, and we don't know that. We don't always see that.
You know, we don't see the similarities. We don't see those common denominators. We just don't see that. We just don't see it. Wow.
It's funny because it's not, and we're not close because of what we get. Right. Or what we don't get or what we don't get from each other. But just by the nature of what we are, you know, our common human experience. And we're so close. We really are.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, differences are blessings, not constraints. We just don't see it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Joe Buchanan, for your soul fueled songs and spiritually rich stories that accompany them. A very happy Thanksgiving to all of you tomorrow. And be careful, because you need to be careful out there. But you know what? Here's an idea. Why not tell a few stories of love and gratitude and be good to each other? I know it doesn't sound like a big deal. It certainly doesn't sound very profound. But you know, it is Thanksgiving. Every once in a while, we ought to ask ourselves why we love the people we're sitting next to and why we invited them to our table. And as Joe said, I think so aptly and so eloquently, there is room for one more. And if there's not one more physically, there's always going to be someone, one more in your heart. At least I'd like to think so. Joe opened today's show with a song we used as a bumper. And he's about to treat us to another song that we're going to end with in a moment as soon as I wrap it up here. And Joe, again, this is good news, and I was kind of planning this. I was just hoping that we could do this, but you're going to have about 5 minutes to wrap this up. So really, you know, give us some songs, because I'm going to shut up for a change, and I want people to hear your music. And I want to apologize to anybody out there when I talk too much, but, you know, it's really important for us to develop these segues, because these are story songs. These are songs that are stories. Stories are made into songs, and we need to understand that, because this is really powerful, powerful stuff. Remember, a storyteller takes us on journeys and then return us safely to the present. They do us through giving us an opportunity to enter through the magic of their soul, through coming through that window. And I think that's what Joe did so beautifully. So you better stay put, because after the news comes Living Art, which is another KPFT exclusive. I want you to all to please make 90.1 a part of every day. And be sure to join us every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And treasure what you hear. You keep loving a great story, and we're going to keep bringing them to you. This is Hank, and along with the rest of the So What's Your Story team, we never want you to forget that, you know, even if a story doesn't necessarily end happily, it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace. Now, more of my very special guest, Joe Buchanan.
Hank, I got to tell you, you have such a beautiful voice, and I'm so thankful to be living in a lifetime with you in it, and that you're doing what you're doing. Wow. I can't tell you how much it means, and I just really appreciate you a lot.
And thank you so much. And I didn't even have to pay Joe that much to say that. No, man, that's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank
that's
you.
True. It's all
well,
true.
You know what? I never take anything for granted. It is not, it ain't easy, right? But, you know, it's important to be able to talk to people. Get them to be a part of your life. And I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, you inspired me I'm going to change up the last song I was going to do. I don't think I'm going to do a song about peace. This is actually a take on one of our prayers on Osei Shalom. And this comes from our Friday night tableside Shabbat and the touring service that I do.
Here we are in the good old days we thought were behind, but they were here the whole time. We just need to see the signs. There's still time to see each other for who we are. We're the children of God, and we're not too far. We're not too far apart. Osei Shalom, Bimroma, Hu Yaaseh, Shalom Aleinu. Ve'yalkol Yisrael, Ve'yalkol Yoshve Tevel. Down for all of us. May the one who makes peace in the high heavens bring peace down for all of us. And may the one who makes peace in the high heavens bring peace down for all of us. Ah.
who makes peace in the high heavens, bring peace down for all of us. And may the one who makes peace in the high heavens bring peace down for all of us. Ve'imru, amen.
All right. So what's your story, man? On KPFT, Houston's Community Station, Radio for Peace. Be good to each other.
Hi, I'm Bad Kitty, host of The Funk Excursion, and I'm asking you to donate to KPFT this Giving Tuesday, November 30th. Giving Tuesday is a global generosity movement unleashing the power of people and organizations to transform their communities and the world, something KPFT has been doing since 1970. KPFT has endeavored to transform its community by airing views you don't often hear on the air in South Texas and airing news that often doesn't make it onto commercial channels. If you want KPFT to continue to air more about what's going on in the area's diverse communities and more about the issues impacting you locally and nationally, please use this Giving Tuesday, November 30th, to donate online at kpft.org. That's kpft.org. Thank you.
It's Friday night. The inmates go quiet. Listen for a voice they know.
It's time to holler down the pipe chase and rattle them bars.
The Prison Show airs Fridays 9 to 11 p.m. at 90.1 FM KPFT. For over 40 years, the show has connected Texas prison inmates with their friends and loved ones over the airwaves. You can't find an older Texas show, and it's right here on KPFT at 90.1 FM KPFT, Houston.
Look into my eyes.